Good morning, Hope Church. What a joy to be with you, even from the other side of the pond. And just a massive sending lots and lots of love from myself, from my husband, from our family, from our church, from our house to your house. God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Joshua, Pastor Corinne, and all of you at Hope. We love you. And although I really want to be with you in the flesh, it really is a privilege and a joy to be able to join you this way. So yes, I hope by God's grace to see you soon. But I want to just start this morning. I have a message for you, and I believe it's going to minister to your hearts, each one of you. And so I just want to start in prayer. And so if you can just help me, Naomi, that would be wonderful. And right now, I just want to encourage you, whether you are in the house or whether you are watching from home right now, if you just shut your eyes, lift up your hands to the Lord as a sign of surrender. And I would love to lead you in prayer. If you just say, Heavenly Father, my heart is open to you. Will you do something new in me? Will you reveal the things that have been holding me back? And will you lead me on a journey towards fresh freedom and fulfillment? And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. You know, I just want to start with a scripture. And it says in Proverbs 4:23, but this is in the Passion Translation. It says, above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. You know, I'm probably one of those people who wasn't as aware as many other ministers were in the past. I wasn't particularly aware that we were kind of heading towards end times, not to the extent that others were. But then suddenly COVID hit, global pandemic. And I think suddenly we all realized, oh my goodness, we don't know exactly how long we've got. And so more than ever, every single day counts, isn't that right? And you know, I have this such a sense of urgency. You know, we all have a role in life. You know, maybe in your family, if you're married or you have children or your parents, whatever, often in a really highly functioning family, everyone knows their role and their purpose. Well, if there's one thing I'm sure about, my role in the body of Christ is very simple. And it's to bring healing to the hearts of God's people so that they can fulfill every ounce of their God-given destiny. You know what, my brother, my sister, there has never been a time that it has been more important for you and I to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the issues of our heart so that we can fulfill all the things that God has for us to do in the time that we have. It is not long. And so my prayer is that God will start something in you today that will liberate you to make sure that every single day that you have counts for the purposes to which God has called you. You know, how many of us, if we were physically sick, you know, if you broke your leg, if you came out in a rash on your body, if you had a headache that wouldn't go away, you know, if you were physically sick, you would seek help. At the very least, you'd pray. But you'd probably call the doctor. Let me read a scripture to you. Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, "The spirit of man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit?" You know, we're quick to look after our physical body. But you know what? According to the Bible, Proverbs 18, verse 14, we can actually handle it. You know, some of you probably have a really high pain tolerance, especially the women. Sorry, I didn't say that. And yet we're quick to get help when our body hurts. But you know what? It is your heart. It's your heart that decides how much of your God-given destiny that you really get to fulfill. And I feel such a strong sense, such a compulsion from heaven to bring a healing anointing and to help people to understand, to help you to get an understanding of where you are right now and of how to come out the other side. You know, I want to read another scripture because this has been a tough year, right? You know, think about the things you miss. You know, I miss you guys. I miss being in America. I feel like Florida is my second home. I miss Miami. I miss you guys. But think about the things that you've missed this year. Think about the things that didn't work out the way you wanted. You know, it says in Proverbs 12, verse 25, it says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression." But you know, that word anxiety in the Hebrew actually means heaviness or sorrow. So listen to that scripture. It says, "Heaviness or sorrow in the heart of man causes depression." Other translations say, "cause heaviness, cause you to be slowed down, weighed down." The original, the Young's literal translation, which just goes back to the Hebrew, says, "Sorrow in the heart of man boweth down." You know, I want to look at four effects of an unhealed heart and then how to get on and stay on and continue on your healing journey for the sake of your purpose. You know, the first thing, when our hearts aren't healed, you know, I don't know what it is that has brought disappointment, sadness, sorrow into your heart. You know, do you wake up in the morning just with a sadness? Do you have a sense of letdown or disappointment? Do you just feel a weight on the inside? You know what it does? The first effect of an unhealed heart is it causes us to limp. It slows us down. You see, what does the Bible say? Those who wait in the Lord shall run and not grow weary. When all is well, we're supposed to have this exuberance on the inside. If you run and don't grow weary, that's because you have bags of energy. Let me ask you, is your energy depleted? Are you feeling weary? Very often, that is a sign of an unhealed heart. It causes us to limp, to go slower in life. You know, number two, it can cause us to become oversensitive. This is a big one. And you know, I think this was one of the biggest evidences of what I looked like before I started my healing journey. You know, I used to be so defensive. It's really interesting. In Proverbs 6, it says, "Correction is the way of life." Corrective discipline is what the Hebrew means. And yet anytime anyone would try and correct me, it felt like rejection. Anytime anyone tried to point out my shortcomings, I'd be like, no, 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 because I had pain on the inside. And so I was oversensitive. I was defensive. I was oversensitive to the things other people did. You know, I've been married and in ministry now for 25 years, but the first 10 looked so different to the next 15. You know, in those first 10 years of marriage, I was defensive with my husband, oversensitive. You know, if he was abrupt, I would think he was being mean. There were so many times when I was just oversensitive. And when we haven't been healed, the reason we get oversensitive is this. You see, if people have said things to you that hurt over your life, there have still been like wounds. They've stayed. You know, it says in Proverbs, it says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. You know, if you felt lacerated by people's words, then it can make you see words as weapons. You know, what does it say? Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if all you've seen words used as is like weapons, then it's death. You know, it's like someone putting a gun to your head when they speak. And so, of course, you'd be oversensitive or defensive. You see, we need to learn how to receive feedback. We need to be able to hear people say the way you did that wasn't great and not to feel like they're getting at us. But you see, when we're still carrying pain, when we've gone through a lot of rejection, when we've been accused and falsely accused, then we can see words as weapons. Number one, we'll limp. Number two, we'll be oversensitive. And you know, it's not just that kind of oversensitivity. You know, when we're unhealed, then anything that reminds us of what we've gone through, and that's not necessarily oversensitive, it's just sensitive. You know, I want to share something that is quite close to home for some of you. You know, and I know that. When Prophet Kathy, I know she ministered in Hope, she loved being with you guys. And when she died a year and a half ago, you know, she was not just my mentor, but she was a proper spiritual mum to me. And we would speak, you know, 5-6 times a week. And, you know, I loved her with all of my heart. And so when she died, although in some ways we kind of had a few days' notice for those who were part of that journey, but yet, I mean, I was shocked. I was not ready. And I remember the day that I heard, I got a call from Jerusha, Prophet Kathy's daughter, for those of you that don't know her, this is an amazing woman. And I got a call from her daughter saying, "Hi, Joe, it's Jerusha. Mum's heart stopped beating 4 minutes ago." And I remember just sort of trying to absorb the news, and I actually had to minister that day, so I did what I had to do. And I got home later that day. I was home alone that weekend. My husband was in West Africa, and my children were at a youth retreat. And I was just sitting alone and just really processing, or as you guys would say, processing what had happened. And then I got a text from my son. And he was sending me a copy of the message that he just shared at the youth retreat that he was at. And he'd preached for the very first time. And so I was a seriously, you know, proud mum in that moment. And he sent me a copy of his message. And he said, "Mummy, please will you listen to it and give me your feedback. I want to know what I've done well and I want to know what I can do better." And first I was like, wow, I was so proud of my son for wanting feedback. And then I listened to this message. And I was so proud of him. And I was just taken aback, really, because it was so anointed. It was so sensitive. I mean, he was speaking into the hearts of his teenage friends, you know, the people he'd grown up with, and I was just really amazed. And I had sat in our sitting room and got up ready to continue, and I walked into the kitchen, and suddenly, you see, one of the reasons we don't get healed is because normally pain is bound up with words. Let me explain. It says in the book of Matthew and Luke, it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. There is a connection in the way we've been made by God. There is a connection between our hearts and our words. And a lot of the time, the reason we don't get healed, the reason pain just gets bound and pushed down and doesn't get dealt with, is that when it comes up, we sanitize the way we feel. We somehow just try and present to God something that seems adult-like. But you see, it's the truth. It's when we express the truth about how we feel. That's how counseling works, and Jesus is our wonderful counselor. It's when we tell the truth about what really hurts that the pain is released, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we don't say the words, they get trapped and the pain gets bound up. So here I was. I just listened to my son's message. I walked into the kitchen and suddenly I cried from the depths of my being. And in that moment, I realized the reason I suddenly started to cry was I wanted to tell Prophet Kathy. I wanted to call her. I wanted to say, Benji just preached his first message, Mama, and it was amazing, and I'm so proud of him. And I know she would have said, oh, honey, I'm so proud of him too. Let me hear it. She would have asked me to send it to him. And I walked in the kitchen. And this is what I said. I fell on my knees in the kitchen. And I cried out. I said, I want to tell my mama about Benji. I don't want to tell you, God. Listen, God is the God of truth. He knew how I felt in that moment. He wasn't offended that I was telling him. I want to tell her, not you, right now. But I fell on my knees and I cried. And this depths of pain, this ball of pain poured out from the inside of me. And I cried and cried for about 25 minutes. I was so glad I was home alone that weekend. And God began the healing process. You know, over the next couple of months, on the way back from the funeral, I cried for, I had a long journey home. Bishop Swilly did the funeral amazing. But I had a long journey home, several connections, and I cried gently most of the way home. I had three or four other healing encounters as God healed my heart. You know, God doesn't want you to carry any pain. He doesn't want you to, you know, me holding on to pain about my sadness of Prophet Kathy isn't the way that I honor her, the impact she had. I want to get healed so that every little corner of my heart can be full of love, not full of sorrow. Your heart was made to carry love, not sorrow. You see, one of the effects of an unhealed heart is that we limp, we slow down, we're weighed down. I was carrying sorrow about her death, and every time God healed me that time, the following day I felt better. But then I still needed to be healed. Healing is a journey. It's not a one-time encounter. It's not a one-time experience. It's a journey. So I had about five or six specific healing encounters that brought me to a place of wholeness. And if ever I feel a sadness, I don't go, well, that's normal. I say, Lord, I only want to carry love in my heart. I don't want to carry sorrow. And so I go to the Lord and I tell him exactly how I feel. And I pour out my pain. Lamentations 2:19 says, pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. We limp because we're weighed down. We're oversensitive. We can become sour. We can have a negative outlook on life. I'm not going to go into that too much. But we all know people and we can look at them and we can just see that hardship is written across their faces. You know, it says in Proverbs 14:30, it says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy and wrath are like rottenness to the bones. You know, when we don't deal with pain, it gets a bit infected. And we can start to have a disturbed mind, a sour outlook, negative expectations. We end up having a dim view, if you like, of the world. That's number three. Number four, an unhealed heart can leave us with trust issues. This is huge. What does it say? Jesus himself said that father will betray son, a son is father, a brother is brother. In other words, betrayal is inevitable. We will go through betrayal, but let me tell you, the enemy has a plan for betrayal. He wants to use betrayal to leave you and me with trust issues. The devil doesn't like it when you can trust. And that is his number one aim as a result of betrayal is to cause you and I to have trust issues. That's the fourth effect I want to mention today of an unhealed heart. We struggle to trust people. You know, you might say, oh, well, I trust God. You know what? The evidence that we trust God is that we trust people, because we trust God that when we do get hurt again, we'll get healed again. You know, wisdom is rooted in faith, whereas wariness is rooted in self-preservation. It's rooted in fear, the fear of being hurt again. God doesn't want you and I to have trust issues. He wants us to be free, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to open our hearts and to trust the people he is placing around us. You know, trust is a choice. It's not something that we do willy-nilly or indiscriminately. But trust issues is a problem. You see, four effects of an unhealed heart. We limp. We become oversensitive. We become sour. And we develop trust issues. Those four words spell, the first letter of those four words spell lost. This is why I felt such a conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring God's people on a healing journey. Because you see, when our hearts aren't healed, it results in lost potential, lost promotions, lost promises, lost opportunities, lost relationships. It is one of the devil's primary ways of keeping us constrained, keeping us limited in the influence that we can have. You know what? I believe that the Lord wants to do a work in your heart. I feel such a strong sense in this season that God is saying, will you prioritize your heart? Will you make a decision to pursue your healing journey. And you know what? I had the joy of marrying a man who spent the first 6 months of his salvation getting healed. He cried for literally 6 months after he got saved, age 18. But you know what? He wasn't yet fully healed. He'd gone on a wonderful healing journey, but he still had trauma trapped in his heart. And so the man I married still had, you know, I had loads of issues when we got married, way more than him. And so I didn't even notice his issues for a long time. But then God started to heal me. And then what I saw was amazing. You know, even over the last 6 years, my amazing husband, I have seen more transformation in him over the last 6 years than probably the previous years of our marriage, because he's allowed God to continue healing him. Right now, I want to pray for you. And you know what I want to pray? I want to pray that God will do a work in your heart today, but I want to pray that I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment to your healing journey. We have an event coming up, which your pastors know about, and maybe some of you are already booked up and involved in that. And I pray that you will come to the virtual encounter with such high levels of expectation about what God will do. But I want to pray for you now. So right across the house, and if you're watching from home, I just want to ask you right now to stand to your feet, lift up your hands, and shut your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, with your eyes shut and your hands raised, if while I've been speaking, God has brought a reminder of any pain to the surface, I want to encourage you, talk to your wonderful counselor. Tell him what has hurt you. Tell him. Thank you, Jesus. The power of counseling is that we tell our counselor the deepest issues of our heart. Just pour out your heart like water in these moments. One moment in the presence of God can change us. Just talk to the Lord. Tell him, God, it hurt. Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe you've lost someone you love. Maybe you've gone through disappointment after disappointment. Just tell the Lord. Pour out your heart like water. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, I pray for your healing love to fill every heart. You know, that void, that empty space that's left when we pour out our pain, he says, let me fill it with my healing love. So right now, Lord God, I pray for your healing love to fill every heart. Right now, still with your eyes shut and your hands raised, say, I receive your love. Say it out loud. I receive your love. And I believe your love. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. You know what? Just allow the Lord to continue ministering to you, filling you, blessing you, doing a fresh work in you. And remember, it's not your education, your qualifications, or your upbringing that determine your destiny. It's your heart. Prioritize your heart for the sake of your future and for the sake of every single one of your relationships. You'll be amazed at what God will do. Well, God bless you. Pastor Joshua, Pastor Corinne, I love you. I honor you. I respect the gift of God in you and the gift of God that flows through you. And it is really a joy to know you, to be friends with you, to be family with you. God bless you. Thank you for this privilege. And I hope to see all of you at some time soon in the future when the world reopens. God bless and goodbye.